The wheel is a concept that the navigators came up with in the 60s from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. The hub of the wheel, where the power comes from, is Christ himself. And as the hub is the center of the wheel, so Christ needs to be the center of our lives. We give our lives to him. He said, whoever you are, whatever you look like, he says, like Uncle Sam, I want you to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We should want him, but we should always be amazed that he wants us. Amazing grace. Where the rubber meets the road, we talked about last week, the obedient Christian, where we are willing to do the things that he wants us to do. But when you think of a wheel, you also think of the spokes of the wheel, and there are four spokes to this Christian wheel. The first one is vertical, and it connects us with the Lord through his word. Another is another vertical, straight up and down to prayer. So we have prayer and the Word of God connecting us with God himself. Prayer and the Bible. But there's also horizontal spokes, which connect us to other people. Fellowship is one of them. We fellowship today, this morning, in worship. The other side, the other spoke that goes in the other direction is witnessing. How we share the grace of God with those who don't know Jesus. So this morning we're going to look at the first one, the Bible, and think about how the Bible connects us with the Lord. The Bible is absolute truth. Today we're living in a society that claims all truth is relative. There are no absolutes. I love it listening to Ravi Zacharias debate. He was debating one man, and he said, there are no absolutes. And Ravi said, are you absolutely sure? We know that there are absolutes, and we count on laws such as gravity to keep our feet planted squarely on the ground. Things universal don't change. And that in our lives forms stability, so we're not always on a roller coaster ride. But we have something that we can trust in. Politicians move to the left or the right for primaries into the center for general elections. For some, there seems to be no firm stand, no solid ground, no issues that they really believe in. We find ourselves tossed by every word of philosophy. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 29, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. We deal today with the first part of that equation, the scriptures. You don't know the scriptures. It's our responsibility to know what God has given us in his word. Jesus is saying here to these people, your thinking is wrong. Your premise is wrong. Your point of departure is wrong, and even your conclusion is wrong because you don't know the scripture. The Bible is the anchor in our lives. It tells us what the truth is. Not what we want it to be, but what God's truth is. And that's a difference today because everybody thinks they can make up their own truth. They can make up their own theology. They can make up their own God. And the trouble is most of our gods look just like we do. And we have to be so careful not as Paul would say in Romans 12:2, he said, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, because they have what they want you to believe. Those philosophies are coming down to us through education and media and, you know, all of these trying to mold us and make us, when it should be us coming to the Lord and say, Lord, make me what you want me to be. And in coming to his word, it's not taking it the way I want it, but Lord, reveal yourself through your word to me. I don't want to just make, because then we end up with a sense of dread. We can wake up every morning just dreading the day ahead of us, because we don't have that anchor of truth in our lives. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. And someone equated it one time to a mirror that was covered with mud, and our responsibility is to take the mud away, to see what's really there, to see God as he really is. Probably more of a window than a mirror. So there's a declaration here of responsibility. 1 Timothy 4:7 exhorts us to train ourselves to be godly. We do that through his word. I don't see how we could possibly do it without the Bible. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is the outworking of salvation in our lives. What Jesus did on the cross brings us to salvation. But it's the working, the outworking of that salvation that's so important that we should dedicate our lives to through the study and reading of his word. There's an importance, a great importance in finishing. The founder of the Navigators, Dawson Trotman, said, there are many starters and few finishers. How many times do we start little projects that we never finish? Just seems like a part of our lives, doesn't it? I always got 10 projects going. Maybe it's a good idea, I don't know. My mother-in-law said she wouldn't die until she cleaned her windows. We told her at the time, we're never cleaning your windows again. But of course she died anyway. How do you respond to the things that happen in your life every day? Do you respond in a biblical manner? In the way you've been indoctrinated by the Word of God? The Bible teaches us to respond in a certain way through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the principles in the Word of God. Our training in God's Word prepares us to respond to every situation in a godly manner. We have only two choices: a God-inspired response or a worldly response. And we know how easy it is to go with number two. Proverbs 4:23 encourages us. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. With his word. Thy word, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Just the importance of his word. And it's always fighting against what's naturally inside of us. Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. What is the condition of our hearts this morning? You know, as I went for kind of a pre-registration for my surgery tomorrow last week, the nurse said, I don't see an EKG in your chart. You better go right down, because the lady's about ready to leave and you better get one so we can have that. Well, they check your heart to make sure you're good to go on the day of surgery. How's your heart every day? We need to examine our hearts. Our responsibility is to fill our heart with the things that will produce a proper response, and that's the scripture. Paul said in Philippians 4:8, fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and fine things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it, from the Living Bible. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy that the Bible is God-breathed or inspired by God. The Word of God is its own defense. Someone said, how can you defend the Bible? He said, the same way you defend a lion. You let it out of its cage. The Bible will defend itself. It can stand on its own. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:9, the Word of God is not chained. We need to free it in our lives as well as the lives of others. It's not limited. The Word of God works freely wherever it's used honestly. And so we have to believe that with our heart, that when we use the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will take His Word and use it to bring about the results that He wants. People talking about Jesus in Mark 1:22 said they were amazed at His teaching, because He taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Jesus' word was authoritative. Why? It's the same as this. This is the written Word of God. Jesus is the living Word of God. And there's no contradiction between the two of them. Jesus would never say anything that would contradict the Bible. The Bible would never say anything that would contradict the Lord, because it's His Word. The world has no anchors, no authority. We sing a song, will your anchor hold? It goes down to, what are you trusting in? What is the bedrock of your existence? What do you base your faith on? Someone said in Sunday school this morning, some people just base their faith on faith. You got to believe in what you believe in. And I suppose that's true. But you have to have something that you can rest your faith in, something that you can hold on to. And for us, that's the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. There's nothing like the Word of God. It's living. It's alive. Each encounter with the Word of God produces life. Lord, show me what you want me to know, should be our request when we open our Bibles. Touch my personal need with your Word. Not only is it living, it's active. The Bible touches areas of individual needs. It's active in my life. The Holy Spirit will bring verses to mind at our point of need. So it's living, it's active, it's sharp. The Bible penetrates. It goes to the deepest cares of our lives. We need to let the knife of the Word of God do the cutting that we need in our lives, to cut some of the things that are dead. It's living, it's active, it's sharp, and it judges, it divides. Being in God's Word is an exposing experience. It not only shows us who God is, it shows us who we are and what our needs are. So we're to go to His Word and make it a part of our lives. Paul told his disciple Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. If you ever read through the Bible, a lot of times when we read through the Bible, we run into verses and we go, oh, that's where that's from. I knew it was in there somewhere. I didn't know quite where. And other times we run into Bible verses that we just say, oh, I wish that wasn't in there. That's so much like a mirror in my life, and I can see myself in that verse, or I can see myself in that person, and I still need a lot of work. Peter would say in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So growth takes place when we apply God's word to our life. If there's a lack of growth, if you can look at your life and say, well, I'm not doing so good as a Christian today. I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I decided that years ago. But I'm not doing very good today. It's probably because we're not in the Word. I like that little story of the man who was praying and he said, Lord, I'm having a great day today. I haven't had a bad thought all day. I haven't spoken a bad word. I haven't done anything bad today. But Lord, now I have to get out of bed. And then it begins. And we chuckle because it's so true, isn't it? If we were God, would we have as much patience with us as he has with us? It is telling. Jesus in John 5:39 condemned the Pharisees. He said, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. So what's your study of scripture like? You see, it's not supposed to just be about theology. It's supposed to be about Jesus. It's not just about topics and different points of discussion. It's about Jesus. When the transfiguration happened, Peter was there with Jesus and Peter, James, and John, and Jesus appeared transformed into his glory along with Moses and Elijah. Peter's response was, can we build you tabernacles? Can we build you places where we can come and worship you? And Jesus had to tell him, well, that's not what I have in mind. The Father said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So the Father's statement to Peter, who was the apostle of Jesus, the first one of all the lists, although he had his problems, the message of God to Peter was, put your eyes on Jesus. And we do that through the Word. We should ask ourselves when we go to the Bible, what does this teach me about God? Fresh, new content and confidence about God. The Word reveals Jesus, and Jesus reveals the Father. He would say, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. His reliability is confirmed through the Scripture. Don't ask for more faith. Ask for a stronger relationship with God. Well, we'll go back to where we started the service, back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You cannot grow spiritually apart from the Word of God. The Bible teaches me the truth about myself and others, principles of truth needed for today. An illustration, there are many religions in the world, but not all of them that teach that lying is wrong. The Bible teaches us that lying is wrong, but in Buddhism there is two situations where it's okay to lie. In Islam, there are six situations where you are encouraged to lie. So just an example. The Bible teaches me the truth. The Word will bring growth through rebuking. My attitude and my actions focuses on the problem. So it's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for reproof. Does anybody like to be rebuked? Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? If somebody were to stand in the, I think we had somebody not too distant past that said, I'm going to just take a moment to rebuke you now. It's like, oh, sets us back, doesn't it? Wait a minute, what does he mean by that? I want to exhort you. We have to choose our words carefully, don't we? We don't like reproof. But the Bible is there to point out what the problems are in our lives. But not only does it point out the problem, it shows us the correction, what to do about it. Somebody could just constantly condemn you, constantly criticize you. But there needs to be, with that rebuke, a correction. How can I get back to where I should be? And the Bible tells me that if what I'm doing is wrong, it tells me that it's wrong, and then it brings me back to knowing that I'm on the right path or in the right place. It corrects me. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Correction gives hope. Otherwise, I'm just under condemnation. And then instruction in right living. It helps me learn to live right, is the way the Living Bible says it. It helps me to learn to live right. Every area of my life. Relationships are given clear directions. My family, where I work, my social activities. It has advice for all of those areas. And then in verse 17, the Bible produces maturity. The Bible is exactly what I need. So Paul encouraged Timothy. He said, preach the word in season and out of season. We are told in Acts 1:8 that we are to be witnesses. And in Ephesians 4:25, to speak truthfully. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. So we have both love in this verse and truth. Love putting the interests of the other person first. In weddings, we all often use 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. That spells out the attributes of love. Love is kind and patient and so forth. So we have love and we have truth. And it should help us to become more like Jesus. Now I'm going to give you the hand because I have it in my notes. Not just three of them, but all five. Okay. And we'll close with that. First of all, hearing the Word of God. I have been tied in with a ministry called Kingdom Products. And they encourage people to listen to the Word of God. They have these little players about this big. You can attach them to your arm and earplugs and just listen to the Bible. As you work, you know, if you're doing something that you don't have to put a lot of thought into, you can listen to the Word of God. It says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that's one of their key verses because it's all audio. They encourage you to make CDs and put them on people's cars because people still have CDs. And people like to listen to things in their cars. They have the Bible on CD. But the problem is we forget between 87 and 89% of what we hear. So number two is reading the Word for stability and strength. And it doesn't matter, get a one-year Bible, get a regular Bible, just read it. Even if you just believe a chapter a day keeps the devil away, just get into the Word and make it a part of your life. One chapter. Just start out with that. Start in the book of Mark, you know, and just read that narrative of the life of Jesus. Reading the Word. There's a blessing in Revelation 1:3 for those who read the Word of this prophecy. I always took encouragement from that because it says we don't have to understand it. All we have to do is read it. You know, if it said blessed are those who understand the book of Revelation, I'd be in trouble. But it says, blessed are those who read the words of this prophecy. So there's a blessing even from the book of Revelation. The third one is study the word. Personal and group studies. You know, Sunday school, plenty of chairs, not plenty of people. If you want to come, I have the adult class. Love to have you there. And then we have classes for all the kids as well. So come and be a part. Study in a small group where you get to talk and you don't just have to listen to me the whole time. But it's true. What somebody else says, what we hear, we forget 87 to 89%. Most of the time we remember what we say. It's so profound, isn't it? If we say it. But we do remember it. So in those smaller groups where there's discussion, we have a tendency to remember what we've been studying. So study the word personally, your own personal and private devotions, and then in group studies. The fourth one is memorizing the word. Make it a part of your heart. Thy word, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need his word in our heart. And then meditate on it is the thumb. And meditate is, because it deals with all three, touches each one of the other four fingers. And so as we hear it, as we read it, as we study it, as we memorize it, then we can meditate on it. So make it a part of your life. It's so important. The psalmist in the same Psalm 119 said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I love lights. I love the sun. When the sun comes up and you can see everything clearly. But walking around in the dark, I've already started to come over here and turn the heat up. 6 o'clock in the morning, it's dark. I have a little flashlight I bring with me, and now my eyes are getting a little dimmer and it's harder to see. But you know, it's a comfort to have that light, isn't it? To guide your path. Because inevitably somebody's going to leave something right in the middle of the floor. And I have seen, my friends will say, you should see my stubbed toe. Well, show it to me. You know, and I see, oh, I hit the coffee table in the middle of the night walking around in the dark. Well, whose fault is that? It's his fault for not hitting the light switch or getting a flashlight. We need the light. And as Christians, this is our light. It shows us the pitfalls. It shows us where we need to be careful and watch out. It shows us the obstacles to our faith. And we can trust in it. It's reliable. It is the truth, absolute.